You're listening to SBS News.
Nearly a fortnight after the Optus data breach was revealed, 10 million Australians are scrambling to reduce the risk of identity theft. The Australian Competition and Consumer Commission's ScamWatch unit has released a list of scam messages that are already circulating. The group is warning people to avoid clicking on links contained in scam messages that could come through phone calls, SMS or social media messages. In one scam message purporting to be from Optus, customers are being contacted about reissued SIM cards. The advice is to delete such messages. Associate Professor for Cybersecurity Carsten Rudolph at Monash University says that ploy by a hacker is worrying because it presents further security risks arising from the multi-factor authentication process.
Changing from just using a password to multi-factor authorization is definitely a good thing to do because it makes it more difficult to, let's say, hack into your email or your bank account, etc., because somebody trying to hack into it or misuse it would need the second factor as well. But in many cases, the second factor is just a text message to your mobile phone. And at the moment where somebody is able to transfer that mobile phone number to a new SIM card owned by the attacker, they would be able to get that second factor as well.
He recommends people use additional layers of protection, such as an authenticator app. Associate Professor Toby Murray from the School of Computing and Information Systems at the University of Melbourne was himself caught up in the Optus data breach as an affected customer. After hearing about other people struggling to navigate the process of replacing exposed identity documents, he started blogging about his experience.
The advice being provided by Services Australia at the moment as to how people should be replacing their Medicare cards will result in people getting a new Medicare card, but one in which the number on that card will be entirely predictable if you know the old number, and therefore doesn't really provide much security for people. And I can imagine that for a lot of people at the moment trying to navigate the various sources of information, some of which is conflicting, and knowing exactly what they should be doing is therefore more difficult than it perhaps needs to be.
The ScamWatch website advises people affected to take steps including to secure your bank accounts and to contact your superannuation fund. Dr. Murray says he moved quickly to protect his financial accounts and he's urged others to do the same.
So the very first thing that I did was to call my bank and to ask them to put in additional verification measures on my account so that when someone was phoning up the bank, pretending to be me, using this stolen identity information, they would have a harder time impersonating me to my own bank. I would also recommend people do that with their mobile phone provider as well to make it harder for someone to take control of your mobile number, which is a common way that scams are carried out against people. And I would also recommend to people to consider taking out a credit ban, which prevents people from applying for credit in your name for 21 days and then can be renewed in the future, as well as to subscribe to regular credit monitoring, which can be purchased for around about the cost of a Netflix subscription.
The government says it's been waiting for a week to receive details on more than 36,000 customers whose Medicare and concession card numbers were leaked. Services Australia, which delivers support services and payments, wants the information to tighten security for those affected. That revelation showed the scale of the breach was larger than initially confirmed by Optus when the list of exposed data included your name, date of birth, email, phone number, address associated with your former account, and the numbers of the ID documents you provided, such as driver's license number or passport number. The chair of the Australian Privacy Foundation, David Vail, has been involved in a number of the five Australian Law Reform Commission reviews looking at strengthening protections for individuals in privacy law and allowing them a right to sue over major breaches. He says such a move would allow for the risk of identity theft to be properly accounted for in the business and regulatory environment instead of left to individuals.
They've never done the thing that has been recommended for 3 or 4 decades, namely to give individual Australians, like people in every other developed country, the right to sue themselves. for breach of privacy if something goes wrong. In Australia, we're essentially the odd one out, the only comparable country where really if something goes wrong, all you can do is complain to the Privacy Commissioner. There is actually no dedicated Privacy Commissioner. Complain to this body we've been trying to abolish, and we've underfunded and starved, and they don't have to take your complaint, and their decision's not binding like a court decision would be otherwise. So it's a completely inadequate situation.
The exposure to identity theft has only increased in recent years, with the federal government's MyGov website hacked in 2020. More than 3,600 accounts were put on the dark web for sale. The accounts linked to government services, including the tax office, Centrelink, Medicare, the National Disability Insurance Scheme, and MyHealth records. Home Affairs Minister Claire O'Neill says she's looking at new cybersecurity laws, including the possibility of increasing the penalties under the Privacy Act that are currently capped at $2.2 million. Mr. Vale says he supports heftier fines and says overall the direction of legal reform needs to be about shifting the responsibility onto governments and businesses to think about prevention and storing only the sensitive data that is necessary.
What you need is a more precautionary approach, a more preventive approach, and that's the data minimisation model. In one sense, the benefit of the Optus hack is that people are paying a bit of attention, and you could, if you thought about it, realise it might actually be better if they did more with less. It might actually be better if the risk wasn't just projected onto me, that there were ways of lowering it, reducing it, minimising it, but also pushing it back onto the people responsible.
Legal scholar Dr. Brendan Walker-Munro at the University of Queensland says Australia's privacy laws are too vague, and he hopes the Optus incident adds fresh direction to a long-running review of the Privacy Act by the Attorney-General's Department.
The Privacy Act is relatively clear to say once a company is no longer using that information, they should be destroying it. But again, the terms are quite vague, and so hypothetically, Optus could say, well, we needed to keep that information in case they came back, or we needed to keep that information potentially for, like I said, a court case that comes up. So there's a lot of vagueness in the terms that are in the Privacy Act that I'm really hoping are going to get addressed with the Privacy Act review.
He says Canada's approach of giving more power and rights to the consumer is worth considering.
An example in the Canadian privacy law where it actually gives the power to citizens to write to big companies like telecommunications, like the Googles and the Apples, and say what they call challenge compliance. So you can write to these companies and say, I want you to tell me how you're protecting my data. I want you to tell me how much data you have about me and what you're doing with it. And the company is under a legal obligation to reply to those challenges. And so I think that's an easy step that could be potentially included and really give a sense of power back to consumers.
12 days after disclosing the data breach, Optus has announced an independent external review to understand how the data breach occurred and to prevent it happening in the future. Optus CEO Kelly Bayer-Rosmarin says she hopes the review helps to rebuild trust with customers. Biwa Kwan, SBS News.